A lot of people have wondered about, is baptism really necessary? And, you know, I believe that it is. And, you know, I believe that in the natural, when a woman gives birth, the way that you know that she's about ready to actually give birth, you know what happens. Her water breaks. And then shortly thereafter, hopefully for some women, sometimes it's not always shortly, but shortly thereafter, a new little baby appears. And wow, what a miracle. What a tremendous miracle. And you know, I believe that God chose baptism for that same reason. Because when you're born again, you know, you go down into the water and you're immersed in the water. And the water is a type of the Word of God. You're immersed in His life. And then you come up out of the water and you're a new creation because you've identified yourself with Jesus Christ. And what a tremendous thing that is. And I'm just going to read you just a little bit here out of the book of Acts. And, you know, I might not even read. I might just tell you. In the book of Acts, you know, after Jesus had been crucified, the disciples all gathered together in an upper room. And they were tarrying there until they all became in one accord. In other words, you try to get 120 people in a room and get them all in agreement, it's not that easy. So it might have took a few days for that to happen. But I'm going to tell you what. Once they all got in agreement, then a miraculous thing happened. It said there came in the sound of a mighty rushing wind. As that wind came into the room, the Holy Spirit began to baptize them all in the Holy Spirit. And they began to even speak with different languages in different tongues. And that was part of what had been prophesied in the book of Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And you know, God was fulfilling His word. And I want to tell you that today here, when Wolfie gets baptized, and I'm going to call him Wolfie because we just call him Wolfie. We love him. He's a special young man. And we're just going to call him Wolfie. I'm not going to get real technical here. And when he gets baptized today, you know, this is a beginning for him. This is something that he's being birthed and he's identifying himself with Christ. And I'm just expecting him to just walk in a different way and talk in a different way. And just, you know, his life's going to be changed because the Holy Spirit is going to come. And I'm not saying the Holy Spirit hasn't already visited him, because I believe it has. And it's what drew him initially to make a confession of faith to Jesus Christ. But, you know, he's going to be a new creation man from this day forward. And God has wonderful, mighty things for this young man. And he'll unfold them to him as he goes along in life. And boy, what a privilege it's going to be for him to walk with the Lord and find that he's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he's that confidant. He's that one that he can turn to when he don't feel like he can turn to anybody else. And I tell you, what a tremendous thing it is when you come to know the Lord like that. And, you know, not only did they have that experience, but they begin to speak with tongues. And they begin to speak in other languages. And all the people gathered around because they heard this thing. And they thought, what in the world is going on? Are these guys drunk with wine? But it was early in the morning, so they knew they hadn't been drinking unless they'd been up all night drinking. And they weren't. And you know what? Peter stood up and he said, men and brethren, he said, this thing that you see here, he said, this is what was spoken of the prophet Joel. And he said, and he began to tell them about Jesus Christ and what he had done for them and all this and that. And their hearts began to be smitten with them. And they asked him, they said, well, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I love that portion of scriptures because that's a promise that you'll receive it. And you know, what a tremendous difference it makes when the Holy Spirit comes into your life in a strong way. You find yourself doing things that just shock you and amaze you. I can remember after I first got saved, I can remember being at work one day and smashing my hand, you know, and I smashed it pretty good. And I can remember that at one time I would have cussed a blue streak. I mean, I really would have. And, you know, I can remember saying, ouch, and only saying ouch. And I was kind of shocked. I thought, you know, because the Lord was already starting to change me from the inside out. And you know, it kind of amazes you the things that God does for you when you give your life to him. But anyway, this morning, Wolfie's going to come, and I'm not going to preach a sermon. Mike's going to share the word. He's going to come, and we're going to baptize him. And he's chosen to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that's okay. And we'll baptize him like that. But we're going to believe that Jesus Christ is going to so invade his life and give him the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll come, we'll go ahead and we'll do this, brother. God bless you. Anybody that wants to come up, you can come up. Somebody ought to come up and take some pictures. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Watch that, Joey. She's a baby snatcher. She loves them little babies. She loves to get a hold of them. Yeah, she's the picture taker. Yeah. Just sit down and kind of, yeah, sit forward a little bit. Okay. And Clyde, I'm going to let you pray over him because he's been in your Sunday school class, and I'm going to let you initially baptize him, and then we're all going to pray for him. And anybody feels like they have a word for him, just feel free. And I think you've been very instrumental even in touching his life, so you go right ahead. Okay.
Precious Lord, we thank you for Wolf, Father, and for the spirit that dwells within him. We thank you for the life that you brought to him, Lord, here. We thank you for the day that, Lord, he asked Parker, would you go down and just go with me as I pray and give my life to you, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, right now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that the Holy Spirit come upon him, live and just live within his every cell of his body. That, Lord, that you do the blessing, Lord, and from this day forth, he be a greater blessing in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let me go ahead and baptize him.
Yeah, go ahead.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I baptize Wolf in the Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. And just sit there for just a second, if you will.
Yes.
Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, Father, we lay our hands upon him and we ask for an impartation of the Spirit of Jesus Christ to rest upon him, and Father, for it to just rise up in his heart and just cause him to be a new man from this day forward and just be a new creation man. Father, you have great things for this young man. I know you do. I believe you've spoke to my heart different times about him. And Father, right now, in Jesus' name, let your Spirit so rest upon him that he can do the works which you preordained before the foundation of the world for him to do. For Father, you called this young man and you drew him to yourself. And Father, right now, we present him to you and we thank you for what you're doing here in his life. For surely, my son, I would say unto you even this day that yes, I have called you, I have placed my Spirit upon you, and I have called you into a work that I shall show you and unfold as the days go forward. As you seek my face, you shall begin to see the things that I desire you to do. But I say, wait upon me and let me unfold and let me begin to teach and to show you and even to bring you up to the place that I would have you be. For surely I have called you and I have placed my hand upon you. And I would say unto you, my son, that as time goes by, I shall even begin to place my word in you in such a way that it'll start burning in your heart and you won't be able to contain yourself. And you'll have to speak forth that word which I give you, or you'll feel like you're going to bust if you don't. And Father, in Jesus' name, right now, Father, just let your Spirit so invade this young man that Father, he just becomes all that you've called him to be. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Anybody has a word for him?
Now it said unto thee, my son, I have seen the days when thou wanted to cry out and say that I'm tired. I would say unto thee, say I'm tired, saith the Lord. Because in saying that I'm tired, saith the Lord, thou will gain renewed strength by my spirit, saith the Lord. I shall come upon thee, say the Lord, and shall fill thee with a power that thou hast never known before, saith the Lord. And tired shall leave thee, saith the Lord. And you shall mount up with wings of eagles, and you shall soar, saith the Lord. Because it is I in the midst of thee that does keep thee, saith the Lord.
Dad told you to wait. He said the word wait. And this morning we sang, I will wait on you. And that word wait, if you look at it, it actually means to bind together like you're winding a rope. So as you wind yourself together with God and wait on him, you won't believe the strength that you'll draw from that. And I just thank you, Lord, for Wolf. I thank you for the friend that he is to Parker, the friend that he is to the other kids in my house, for the influence and the tender heart that we feel when he's there. And we love him like one of our own. We thank you for bringing him into our house and into our life, but I most thank you for bringing him into your house. Yes. Because he's a son of yours, Lord. And I just thank you for him. And I ask you to lead and guide his steps. You only know what you have planned for this young man. But it'll be a wonderful thing in you, Lord. And I thank you for him.
Your name, Wolf, sounds fierce, but you shall be my gentle giant. As I walk the shores of the Sea of Galilee with my disciples, so shall I walk in you, my son. I shall show you things and teach you and lead you and love you all the days of your life. You are mine. You are of my kingdom and of my people. And I have a plan for you. And I will accomplish it. Be my gentle giant in the earth, and as people look at you, they will see me. They will see the love that I bear for men everywhere, of every type. Lord Jesus, I ask that you make it so. Amen.
The word that the Lord keeps giving me, Wolf, is do. Those men went to Peter and they said, what must we do in order to be saved? And they heard the word and they were obedient to the word. He said, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But they had to do something. God had already completed the work before the foundation of the world. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, but he's got something for you to do, I hear him say. He's saying, my Holy Spirit will lead you, it will guide you, it will be with you, it will never leave you, it will never forsake you. But you got to do something. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll instruct you to do. To do those things that are pleasing to the Father. Yes, the Lord says, I have many things planned for you in the future days ahead. But understand that this is a gospel of doing. James says, faith without works is dead. We must be a doer of the work, a doer of the word of God. So I'm calling you to do something very special. And right now, I would encourage you to stay fellowshipping with the saints, to go into the Bible studies and continue to do along this road so I can instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go into this great destiny that I've called you into, says the Lord.
Hey, Rich. Here. Wolf, look at me, brother. God bless you. You're a young man of tall stature, right? The Lord said he's going to make you a lighthouse. And what does a lighthouse, what's the purpose of a lighthouse? It's to bring light into darkness. It's to protect so that the ships don't crash against the shores, right? And that's how he's going to use you. You're going to bring light into dark areas. You're going to lift up the name of Jesus and draw all men to him. And you're going to help many from crashing against the rocks.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Joy, you go ahead.
All that I keep getting is that he needs to wait on the Lord. And I think what he means is to just really dig into his word and really stay intertwined with the Lord. As you wait on him, I think he will help you grow in ways you've never known before.
Anybody else? Praise the Lord, buddy. God bless you. Praise God. There you go.
We are now.
Okay, good. All right. Praise the Lord.
It's a hard act to follow.
That's a great act to follow.
I'm going to start this message today with a song. And it's not a song that you would normally hear in church. So what I ask you to do is listen to the words very carefully. Were you able to put them up? Okay. Listen to the words very carefully, and then we'll go from there.
When you're down and troubled, and you need a helping hand, oh, nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call got to do is call. and I'll be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Winter, spring, summer, got to do is call, and I'll be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend? People can be so cold. They'll hurt you and desert you. Well, they'll take your soul if you let. Oh, yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh, babe, don't you know about winter, spring, summer, fall. Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend, yeah. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Oh, yeah, yeah, you've got a friend.
When Oscar said to me Tuesday night in the elders' meeting, he said, when are you going to speak? And I said, I can come up with something. And he said, how about Sunday? Well, the Lord's been dealing with me on this subject for a couple months, and the name of the message is You Got a Friend. And if you listen to the words today, isn't that what life's all about? When you're down in trouble and you need a helping hand, I know it is for me. And you know, it's basically a message today about friendship and loyalty. And I have to get my notes in. So I started out this week, and I was looking at things and how to do it and put it together, and Lord knows I'm not an orator, but you know. So I looked up the definitions of friend, and I looked up the definitions of loyalty. A friend, one who looks on a cause, an institution, a project. But this is what I like, a favorer or a promoter. Isn't that what Jesus is? No matter where we are, in our favor? And isn't he always promoting us to keep going forward? That he's got us in his hands. Wow, isn't that, what kind of friend is that? Loyalty, a loyal feeling, a feeling of strong support for someone or something. Well, we're all sons of God, aren't we? So how loyal is that? You know, God is totally loyal to us in everything we do. So now I'm going to ask a question, everybody here. Of all the people you know, all the people you know, and I'm sure everybody in this room knows a lot of people, who do you consider your really friends on this earth? Or how many are just acquaintances? You know, I bet you most people in this room can count them on one hand. I know I probably can. I know, you know, the statistics show that men have acquaintances and women have friends, and I think that proves to be pretty true. You know, if you go around, women always have a group of friends that they can call on any time, and most guys just know guys. You know, I know a guy can fix this, and he's a friend of mine, but I really don't know him, but I can call him. Am I right, Clyde? Am I right, Lonnie? Yeah, I know a lot of guys. But we can always call on Jesus. Because, you know, he told us, he said to us, ask and you shall receive, you know. I don't think he meant ask and I might come over, you know, when I get a chance. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what the Lord is about. I've got a little story I found last night, and I think this talks a lot about loyalty and friendship, and I thought it was pretty good, and it was pretty interesting. A man and his dog were walking along a road. The man was enjoying the scenery when suddenly it occurred to him that he was dead. And he remembered dying and that the dog walking beside him had been dead for years. Now he wondered where the road was leading him. After a while, they came to a high white stone wall along one side of the road, and it looked like a fine marble. At the top of the long hill it was broken by a tall arch that glowed in the sunlight, and when he was standing before it, he saw a magnificent gate in the arch that looked like mother of pearl, and the street that led the gate looked like pure gold. He and the dog walked towards the gate. And as he got closer, he saw a man at a desk to one side. And when he was close enough, he called out, "Excuse me, where are we?" "This is heaven, sir," the man answered. "Wow. Would you happen to have some water?" the man asked. "Of course, sir. Come right in, and I'll have some ice water brought up right up." The man gestured. The gate began to open. "Can my friend," gesturing toward the dog, "come in too?" the traveler asked. "Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but we do not accept pets." The man thought for a moment and then turned back toward the road and continued the way he had been going with his dog. After another long walk and at the top of another long hill, he came to a dirt road which led through a farm gate that looked as if it had never been closed. There was no fence, and as he approached the gate, he saw a man inside leaning against a tree reading a book. "Sir, where are we?" And the man said, "Well, this is heaven. Can we have a glass of some water?" And the man said, "Yeah, sure, there's a pump over there." Pointed to a place where he could see from the outside of the gate. "Come on in." "How about my friend here?" the traveler gestured toward the dog. "There should be a bowl by the pump," replied the man. They went through the gate, and sure enough, there was an old-fashioned hand pump with a bowl beside it. The traveler filled the bowl, gave it to the dog, and took a long drink himself. And when they had quenched their thirst, he and the dog walked back toward the man who was standing by the tree waiting for them. "What do you call this place?" the traveler asked. "This is heaven," the man answered. Well, that's confusing," he said. The man down the road said, "That was heaven too." "Oh, you mean the place with the gold street and the pearly gates? No, that's hell." "But doesn't it make you mad for them to use your name like that?" replied the traveler. "No, I can see how you might think so. But we're just happy that they screen out the folks who leave their best friends behind." God doesn't leave us behind, guys. You know, we talk about heaven as the pearly gates and stuff, but, you know, aren't we walking on the dirt road rather than the pearly gate road when we're on earth? You know, we're going through our troubles. We're going through all our trials in life. We're going through our ups and downs. You know, isn't it a dirt road? It's not very pretty, you know. How many times do we stumble and fall and go, you know, I can't make this. But, you know, you heard the song. When you're down in trouble, reach out, call me, and I'll be there. That's what Jesus does. You know, it says winter, spring, summer, or fall. That means every season of your life, whether you're young, like Parker and Wolf, whether you're old, like me, you know, it doesn't matter. Every season of your life, no matter where what you're going through, all you have to do is call. You know, and it doesn't say, you know, I might come. It says, I'll come running. Wow. What a thought that is. That Jesus would come running to you when you ask him. And that's what we need, you know. That's what we need in life. You know, when I was talking about before, you know, how many people do we know here on earth that are truly our friends? I know Kathy said to me, we've had conversations for years. She said, you know, I really feel bad. You know, you don't have anybody to run around with, you know, because I do a lot of crazy stuff. And one day I had a doctor's appointment. I walked into the doctor's office. I'd never been there before. And before the door shut behind me, the girl behind the receptionist calls, "Hey, Mike Metz." And I'm going, "Who in the heck is that? I don't know. I mean, they don't know me. I mean, I've never been there before." And here it was, a cousin of a friend, a really good friend of mine that I went to high school, one of my best friends from high school, actually. And we got to talking, and she said, "Do you ever see your friends from when you grew up?" And I said, "I haven't seen those guys in years. I wouldn't even know where they live, what they're doing." She says, "You know, every Friday night they get together." I said, "You gotta be kidding." So I called him, you know. That was about 4 years ago. And these guys knew my life, and they knew my ups and downs, and they knew whatever happened to me, you know. And we started getting together again, and one of the first nights I was there, one of my best friends said to me, "All you had to do is call." He said, "All you had to do is call. We were always there." That's what Jesus is. That's what loyalty is. They knew all my troubles. They didn't want to interfere in my troubles. They didn't interfere with the down times of my divorces and all the stuff that I went through. They knew everybody. But you know something? If I had a call day to come around, they'd have supported me. And, you know, that's what we all need. We need that. We not only need our spiritual friend, Jesus, we need our friends here on earth. We need those. And we need to nurture those just as much, because they're important. You know, God's going to save you. He's going to save you. He's going to help you through your troubles when you're down. But, you know, you need the support here, because you're walking on this earth. You're walking around every day. And you need somebody that, you know, right there, I hate to say it, but right in your face, to tell you if you're messing up, you know, that you can trust. Tell you, pat you on the back and promote you when you're being a good guy. We were listening to Joel Osteen this morning on the TV, and you know, I know a lot of people think of him as a, you know, a, well, he gives a message of, you know, Mr. Good, you know, encouragement. That's what he does. Yeah, you know, and he was saying something this morning that I just struck with me, and he said, we need to be telling ourselves that we're going to be well. If you're feeling ill, I'm going to be better. If your boss is on you and you're having a bad day with your job, my job's going to be fine. You know, if, you know, whatever. I mean, he went on and on and on, didn't he, Kath? And that, you know, that struck me as, well, that's self-promotion. And it is self-promotion. And science, I think, proves that if you do that, eventually those things come to pass because you talk yourself into them, pretty much. But, you know, we've got the great promoter on our side. You know, we've seen time and time again stories of people who have done horrendous things come to the Lord and do tremendous things after that. And, you know, God's a promoter, and he's a favorer. You know, he calls us his sons and daughters, you know. We're part of his family, and that's what I want to be. I want to be part of that family. And I want, you know, I want to be able to call him anytime, knowing that he'll answer my prayer. You know, it's not always on time. It's not always, you know, hey, I need this now, God. You know, you turn around and there it is. It's not going to happen that way. I mean, I'd like to have a whole bunch of money right now to fix up my old car, but that ain't happening. But you know something? God, he continually works in our lives each and every day. And he's totally loyal to us. Wolf, you gave your life to the Lord today, you know? You will never have a more loyal friend than one you met today. Never. You know, that is so important in each and every one of our lives, to know people that we can trust and count on. But most of all, it's more important that we can know we can trust and count on the Lord to do what's best for us. Because he does all things for our good. We may not know it at the time, but they are. They are all good for our good. You know, the scripture says he'll never leave us or forsake us. I mean, that's total loyalty. I'm just totally unorganized, guys. You know, I started reading a devotional at the beginning of the year, and I know when I read it every day, if I only spend 10 minutes and do that and just sit and contemplate on it for a minute or so after I read it, I know my day is lifted. It's in a whole different day. You know, God would love to have you spend each and every moment of day, each and every day, you know, praising him. But, you know, let's be honest, folks. Life's a fast lane today. You know, you don't hardly have enough time to think what you're doing for the next minute. Kath will say to me, remember that? And I'll say, Kath, I can't remember 5 minutes ago what happened, much less what's happened, you know, an hour ago. But, you know, spending that time with him, spend the time with the Lord, you know, talk to him. You know, you don't have to be, you know, in some dark room, you know. I can't tell you how many times I say, Lord, you know, just help me through this. Or Lord, you know what I need. It's all you need to do. And, you know, his loyalty and his friendship will never, ever wane. And he'll hear it. And if it's, if you need to promote, be promoted upon it, he'll promote you on it. If you need favor out of it, he'll give you favor out of it. It sounds hard. It's simple. You know, I found in the last year or so that God doesn't want to make a relationship with him hard. I found that doing a radio show, Rich. He doesn't want to make it hard for us. He wants to make it easy. Matter of fact, it is easy. It's just by doing what I'm saying. You know, be aware. Be aware of who your friends are, your true friends are. Be aware of who your acquaintances are. I'm not saying that you know, you should slough them off. You know, they're your acquaintances. It's like I said earlier, I know plenty of guys, you know, that I can call on and say, hey, I need to borrow this, or hey, can I, you know. They may not be my best friends, you know, BFFs. I don't have a, you know. But, you know, my next-door neighbor, like he said the other day, he was power washing his deck. He said, you want to borrow that? Just come over and get it. He's not my BFF, but he's a good guy. You know, the Lord, you know, he works in, I don't want to say strange ways, but he does. He brings you the things you need in the times you need them. I know my daughter's going through a really hard time right now, and I had a long conversation with her yesterday, and she needs a touch, and I know she needs a touch. But, you know, I know God's got something for her. And when she needs it, she'll get it. She'll get it. I have a couple of scriptures that I want to read real quick. And I think these all talk towards about the loyalty of God. Psalm 22:4. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. And in Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That, do you get that one? He can do it all. More than we can imagine, more than we can ever fathom, he can do it all through his power that works within us. That's loyalty. We can count on him to do it all. In 2 Corinthians 4:7-9. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Our friend is not going to let any of those things happen to us. And neither would your friends on earth if they could help it. They just don't have God's power. But our true friends would do that for us, wouldn't they? If we were down and out, they'd come running. If they knew we were, you know, in a lowly place, they would try and help us out. But we want the real friend. That's what we want today. That's what I want today. And that's what everybody in this room should want today. They should want to know God in Jesus Christ is their best friend, their BFF. And that's what I want for my life. I want God as my BFF. I don't want to be afraid that when something happens to me, I don't have anyone to call on. Because you, no matter who you are, you always have God to call on. no matter who you are, no matter what your circumstance, you can call on God, and He's a deliverer. He's the UPS guy pulling up every day with a box full of candy. I'm going to finish with this. Two little quotes I found. When it hurts to look back and you're scared to look forward, you can look beside you and your best friend will be there. A friend, one who knows all about you and loves you just the same. Wow. That's Jesus Christ. You don't need to look back. Go look forward. Keep going forward with your life. You're going to have your trials. Everybody's going to have their trials. Everybody's going to have their troubles. Lord didn't say it was going to be the pure gold road that was talked about in that little story I read, did he? It's going to be the dirt road with the bumps in it and the clods of dirt and the ruts. But at the end, what are we getting? We're going to get that cool drink of water that satisfies our thirst and satisfies our what we need. And it's going to give us the things we need to keep going forward. I can only think of the end of that story when the guy had the drink and he and his dog walked out of the gate, that they just kept right on walking down the road. I mean, they knew they were dead, but they kept walking down the road because they knew they could turn around and go right back through that gate and get that same drink of water over and over and over again. And they would be satisfied over and over and over again. So let's trust in God today. Let's trust in Jesus to be our best friend. Let's believe that He is totally loyal to us in everything and everything that happens to us, everything we do, our families, our friends, our relatives, every situation. Because I know that if I do that, no matter what my day brings to me, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Cynthia?
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry.